Now a discussion on health care that won't be part of the oral arguments before the U.S. Supreme Court. Any mandate-driven health care system, as the Affordable Care Act is, has as its core mission to sign up the roughly 16% of Americans who do not have health insurance right now. If the court makes no changes in the current law from the Obama administration, the aim is to have nearly all Americans with coverage by 2014 or shortly thereafter. There is a model on the table for how a mandate works right here in Massachusetts. Under legislation signed by then-Governor Mitt Romney in 2006, about 98% of Massachusetts state residents now have health insurance. Massachusetts' health coverage program has been largely seen as a success, politically and otherwise. Government costs haven't risen dramatically, and a 2011 poll by the Boston Globe showed that 63% of Massachusetts residents support the law. But the coverage blanket, even in Massachusetts, has a few troubling holes. Disparities still exist. Access to health care in practice is not universal. Renee Landers joins us, professor of law at Suffolk University, right in the studio here at WGBH in Boston. Professor,
good morning.
Welcome. Welcome.
Thank you.
Also with us to share her story is Massachusetts resident Sylvia Romero. Sylvia, thanks for coming in.
Good morning. Thank you.
So, Sylvia, tell me how your story suggests that getting and keeping insurance isn't as simple as just passing a law about mandates.
Well, I'm a regular citizen here in Massachusetts, and my husband and I found ourselves in a very hot spot, like many people here, going through recession. So we were making some money, but we were not as poor to get MassHealth. So
you didn't qualify for the Massachusetts program because your income was still too high, even though you were struggling.
Correct. So we were with no insurance. So one day I was talking to a friend of mine that worked for Health Care for All, and she told me, of course, you do qualify for some kind of subsidized insurance. And she helped me out, and we do have the subsidized insurance, which is great because when you are going through so much trouble, the first thing you want to do is pay your mortgage or the rent or pay your car and food, and the least important is the health insurance. It shouldn't be that way.
So tell me, how long were you uncovered when you went through this crisis?
Maybe like 6 months.
6 months. All right. And that could be crucial depending on what happens in your life.
Yes.
Renee Landers, is this a weakness of the individual mandate law? And just assess generally the disparities of coverage in the state of Massachusetts right now.
Well, sure. There are two things. One is I think that there's an education gap. And I think that that's going to be a tremendous challenge if the Supreme Court were to uphold the federal law of educating people about what's available to them and their options. So the good feature of the Massachusetts law is that in addition to MassHealth, which is the state's Medicaid program, there is this a sliding scale of subsidies to subsidize insurance purchases on the private market. And that's, you know, a more complicated educational message to the public.
Is it also a rights message, too? And you're a professor of law at Suffolk University. Are we getting to the point where the federal government and governmental institutions need to consider this educational piece to create a bridge over that last mile of where the policy incentives actually get to the people who need it? That's a rights question. That's not something that you need to read about or download or Google. That's something that the government affirmatively has to provide to make sure people get coverage.
Yes, I would say. And the government has had some fits and starts in doing that. I mean, I think over the last decade or so, one of the major features of the Medicaid program there have been a lot of incentives for the states to actually enroll people in Medicaid who qualify, because there was, even though people qualified, they didn't enroll. And that we'll hear about that today, I'm sure, in the Supreme Court
arguments about that,
the burden that will place on the states. But if there is, if a person is eligible for a program, then the government, if the government thinks the program is useful to the public, then the government should make every effort to make sure that the people who are eligible have access to the program.
So what Renee Landers is saying, Sylvia, is there needs to be a system that's better than word of mouth, which
right.
is how you got your information, right?
And that is correct.
Now, that's really scary. Do you think there's any program, as you look back at your situation, is there anything the government might have done, any individual, any policymaker, any bureaucrat who might have said something to you that would have been crucial?
Well, I believe that they do. Actually, I've seen some advertising on Commonwealth Care. They do have a website. It's just that I just didn't look for it. I was busy doing something else. But a very good approach would be you to reinforce information to the public that health insurance is very important.
What are the gateways for doing that, Renee Landers? You've got Department of Motor Vehicles. That's a gateway right. to government interaction where you could be quizzed on your insurance right. and whether you qualify for state or even federal programs. What are the precedents for capturing this last 2, 3, 4%?
Right. So, yeah, I think you raise a good point that many people have an interaction with the Department of Motor Vehicles. When people go seek health care services at, you know, the hospital emergency room or their physician's office, they could be asked questions. And, you know, information could be made available to them. A third option is when they file their tax returns, the tax preparer, if they have help assistance from a tax preparer or the Department of Revenue. I mean, it asks you the question now. You have to demonstrate in Massachusetts that you have health insurance coverage. Otherwise, it's a tax penalty. If they, in addition to asking the question, if your answer is no, then information could be given to you and is given to you about other options.
Is this a cultural shift that needs to happen in America? The debate about the individual mandate really comes down to a question of government coercion, getting into your business, getting into your face in some way. Do we need to develop a language which is more of, no, it's appropriate for me to ask whether you have health care insurance. I'm not trying to intrude into your life as big brother. I'm here reaching out, trying to help you. And that's a tough question for people to face as American citizens in a kind of a we don't trust the government kind of mentality that we have right now. How does that change?
I think people do need to have a different attitude about the role of government in all of this. And I think that, you know, that just because the government is insisting that you have insurance, the government is not dictating when you access health care, what kind of health care you receive, all of those questions, even the insurance product, is in the private market. So it's not that the government is dictating every single choice, but just making sure that you have the opportunity to access health care services when you need them.
And the question really is, who does this educational piece well? It's a combination of marketing, it's a combination of advocacy, and it's a combination of people, as you say, Sylvia,
correct,
paying attention. Right. Renee Landers, professor of law at Suffolk University, and Sylvia Romero, resident of Massachusetts, who now, fortunately, is covered. Thanks
yes.
so much. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.